Some chances come along once in a lifetime. When they do, you've got to be ready. AFA Action's Center for Judicial Renewal has such a chance to help the Trump administration make good choices, nominating men and women as Supreme Court justices and other federal judges. Your gift helps make that possible, and we'll give you a free Bible study by Stephen McDowell, God's Blueprint for Life, Liberty, and Property, as a thank you gift. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, April the 23rd, 2025. Thank you for listening to AFR. Joining me in studios is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Hello.
Wow.
Hello, me bucko.
Is that British?
It's British for a few minutes, and then it always turns into Russian. My accents when I start off.
They sort of slip.
Yeah, they do. Before you know it, I'll be
continent
going.
Continent to continent?
I drink Diet Coke. Yeah. If he dies.
Can you sing in Russian?
Can I sing?
Play the Russian men's.
Play the Russian national anthem. I love that national anthem. I love the Russian and the Canadian national anthem.
Yeah. You like it when those Russian men sing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, those are like manly men.
That's manly.
Do you know the Russians are descended from Vikings? That's who settled that part of Europe
slash Asia. So they've been invaders for a long time, haven't they?
I'll tell you. Those are men. They're just manly men.
Anyway. They just can't help themselves.
Yeah.
Got to invade something.
Kind of like Italians are always surrendering.
I thought that was a French.
Well, we're related in that way.
All right. Well, in studio with us also is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning.
What voices can you do?
Hey, by the way, man, Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. If I can, just a second.
And you can, Chris.
I need to wish my mom a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Hey, what's your mom's first name?
Sheila.
Sheila. Hello, Sheila.
That was Australian.
Yeah. I know. Well,
you slipped over to. Yeah, that was Crocodile Dundee right there.
I've had quite a bit of Diet Coke this morning, so.
No telling what we're going to get from you.
I would buckle up if I were you.
You're going to have a Diet Coke with a stereotype. That's what it says on the wrapper there.
Yeah. Homies.
Yeah, there you go.
You guys are my homies.
Just the accent.
Yeah.
The accent.
With a stereotype, I missed that.
I'm not sure what Chris is talking about.
I don't either. I've not had enough Diet Coke.
I'm just being polite.
Okay, let's move on.
Pretending I understand.
I think we
them.
Just move on.
Okay.
Move on down life's road. All right.
We do have Jenna Ellis at the bottom of the hour. So
she's not a stereotype, though.
She is not.
I think she's her own person.
Yes, she is.
We'll talk to Jenna Ellis at the bottom of the hour. I had something. We're going to get into the good, bad, and the ugly of the day.
Yep.
Something very interesting. Happened to me last night. I don't know if this has ever happened to y'all or not. Of course, I've lived in the same town for my whole life.
Yeah.
Tupelo. And except for like when I was a child.
In college or.
Yeah, and college.
Yeah.
But, and like I know nobody cares about this.
You're homegrown.
Yeah. 6 or 8 years we lived in another town, but in this area.
Yeah.
So, I'm sitting at a restaurant last night with my wife, Allison, and probably half of our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Like six. And anyway, some of our family.
Yeah.
We're having a meal, and I look over and across the restaurant, and I glance over. You know, you just glance over there, and I say, I know that guy from somewhere. You know, you ever had that?
Oh yeah,
yeah. So then I don't want to stare to where he stares,
yes.
And then I don't know him. And he goes, "Who's that freak over there?"
Yeah. Or what are you looking at?
Who's that weirdo over there staring at me?
Yeah.
You know? So I still look over there again. I go, I know that guy. That guy is David. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna tell his last name, David, and David from my college years. Okay. And so I was a, so I was figuring up the last time I saw him. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I said, I know that's him, but I'm 95%
yeah.
sure, but it could be his evil twin for all I know.
Because you walk all the way over there and it's not him.
Right.
It's the walk
like,
of shame.
I've had that happen to me before. Yeah. Hey, you are, aren't you? Do you know? Yeah. Aren't you? Anyway, so we're about to leave the restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. And I said, Allison, I said, look over there, because she knows who he is. She knows. I said, look over there. I said, before we leave, is that who I think it is? She goes, I think it is too. She said, let's go over there. So we walked over there, and sure enough, it was a fella that I went to college with that I hadn't seen in 42 years.
Wow. That, and so let me ask you this. When you were looking at him, did you think, I think that's David, and man, is he old.
Well.
because that's, yeah. that's true of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he definitely, he had gray and wrinkled and all those things that happened to all of us as we go down the path there. But he's
did he remember you?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And we hugged, and after all these years, I didn't realize he had been in prison 5 times. And, wow, I had no idea.
After college, he had chosen poorly.
Just had a loser life. But I didn't tell him that. I thought it, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a good life, and but 42 years, you wouldn't think. And what are the chances we're going to be at? Because he didn't live here anymore.
Oh my goodness.
He did for a little while, but he moved back to where he was, another state. So he would just happen to be at that restaurant. But 42 years.
That's
so we reminisce.
You recognize him after 42 years. That's a lot of
Yeah, no. He didn't recognize me.
Yeah.
At first he didn't. Of course, I had drastically changed, like in long
but
hair.
The better.
Long hair to no hair.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was a unique and fun experience.
Yeah, sure.
And so but we reminisced about, you know, our the year or so we we played board games and card games and didn't go to class, and almost cost me my college career.
that was resulted in your dad sitting you down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got my grades.
Yeah.
Christmas semester.
Yes.
And he said
I remember you telling that.
Basically he said to me, we ain't doing this.
Yeah. Buckle
said,
down.
I never will forget it. He said, my dad, because they were bad, like 2 C's, 2 D's, and an F. That was good for me to not have gone to class half the time.
Yes.
So my dad says, I never will forget. You know those moments you don't forget in your life?
Yeah, no, I know.
So my dad says to me, got your grades today. And of course, you know they're coming. They're coming in the mail.
Yeah.
And so you know doomsday is going to happen sometime during Christmas holidays.
Right.
Right. He said, I got your grades today. Of course, you know, then what's that? The gallows is after that. So he goes, you know, I'm not paying for this. You know that. He said, I'll give you one more semester.
Yeah.
If your grades don't come up, and he had low expectations anyway, so it wasn't a real high bar. You know what I'm saying? For me, now for my brother, he did, but not for me. He said, you can make your living two ways, with your back or your brain.
Right.
He said, you go to college to make a living with your brain.
Yeah.
So you don't have to break your back.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with working with your back or your hands. That's an honorable profession, but you don't go to college to work in the field.
Yeah.
Okay, or whatever like that. So he was saying, if you want to do labor, hard labor, then there's no reason for me to pay for this.
Yes.
So, I mean, that makes sense now.
Oh, yeah.
Back then it was like, so you're going to be killjoy here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, so I can't go party anymore. I didn't know I wasn't a heavy drinker or nothing that, but you know what I'm saying.
Not going to class.
Do what I want to.
Off.
Do what I want to. Yeah. First time away from home. Nobody's watching. No cell phone back then.
Right.
You play poker every night if you want to. Nobody cares. But they do care when your grades come in.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, that was a life lesson for me. He said, I'll never forget him saying, you can make a living with your back of your brain.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gave me one more semester, and
buckled down.
I redeemed myself.
Yes.
And ended up graduating.
Yes.
not with honors, but graduating. Anyway, I don't know why I went off that, except when you don't see somebody for 42 years,
yeah,
you know, and then you see them, and it's like, wow, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
You had similar?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was going to – I'll save it for another day. I was going to tell my
skipping
class in college.
You got to tell – all we got to talk about, Chris got to talk about over is the stock market.
Oh, man, I'm
– Dow Jones.
I've got it primed.
Dow Jones is bipolar.
I'll give you the quick version.
Okay.
My third year of college, I met a young lady. We wound up getting engaged, okay?
But this in Boston?
No, this was in New Mexico,
okay,
where my family had moved, and fortunately she broke it off, and good Christian lady. She has since gone to be home with the Lord, but I wound up marrying my wife. It all worked out. But anyway, that year I would skip class. I had a lunchtime class, and I would skip a class. It was a sociology class, so we could have lunch together, you know, three times a week or whatever. And so the whole semester I'm just goofing around. Now, we didn't do anything wrong. We were both Christians, but I was in love with this girl, and I was skipping class so we could have lunch. And so we come up towards the final exam, and he said what the final exam was going to be about. I had not been taking notes. I didn't know anybody in class, so I couldn't ask for their notes. And so I go and check out of the library three or four books on Emil Durkheim or whatever, whoever it was about. And so I took the test, and the next class, I did go to the next class, mm-hmm. and he said, everyone did very well except for one student who almost made it seem like he never attended class. Because I have no idea where he got all these answers. It was a take-home test. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm scrambling around trying to research. And so he said, it's almost as if he had never been in class when he handed me my test.
Did you pass?
I did. I barely passed.
Barely passed?
But that was just stupidity.
It was, yeah. You laugh about it now.
You laugh about it now. Then, it was, man, I was scared.
Not funny.
My dad would say.
Oh, why'd he get your grade? Did they pay for it?
Yeah. And the semester before, I had gotten a C in, just as one quick thing.
Sure.
Just one quick story. It was my first year as a Christian, and I took a class. I had to take a science class, so I took a class on physics of light. And it was very hard for me. I wound up getting a C, which I explained to my dad. I said, it's physics, you know. But for the final exam, I didn't study, and I went into class, and I prayed. This is how you misuse the Bible. I said, Lord, your word says whatever I ask in faith. And each question on the test, kids, do not try this at home. For each question on the test, yeah, I would just close my eyes and say, Holy Spirit, tell me which letter to.
Oh,
and
man.
I filled it out, and I got the highest grade on the test. I completely.
But you wouldn't encourage people to do that.
Good grief, no.
And
what were you thinking?
You just, all right.
Anyway, I'm sure there are times to our listeners that God looked at you and said, I'm helping you out.
Right.
But this
you don't
is the
deserve
dumbest
it.
Thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, all right.
I got to tell you, it's stories like these that terrify me as the parent of somebody in high school and starting to think about college and where she's going to go and whatever else.
Man, I was so glad college was over.
Yeah.
I like my college years, but I had like
PTSD?
Yeah, on tests for like 5 years. After the, you know how you
you
do
took
that?
Tests after you got out
well,
of college?
Well, I didn't test. Like you know, you wake up in the middle of the night.
Wake
up 3 years after you graduate. Yes. You wake up in the middle of the night going, "I got a test tomorrow."
Yeah.
And you go,
yeah.
"No, I don't. Well, I've already graduated."
You have a test today.
You're right,
in class.
Yeah, all right. Speaking of the stock market.
Oh, thank you so much,
Chris. What happened there?
Well, let me tell you this: we need to keep a check on stocks today because, according to the Wall Street Journal this morning, as of about 45 minutes ago, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the White House may be considering slashing Chinese tariffs to de-escalate the trade war. It says the Trump administration is considering slashing its steep tariffs on China imports, in some cases by more than half, in a bid to de-escalate tensions with Beijing that have rolled back global trade and investment, according to people familiar with the matter. President Trump has not made a final determination, the people said, adding that the discussions remain fluid and several options are on the table. The key points you need to take away here, folks, is that if this is true, here's how it may roll out. Tariffs could come down to roughly 50 to 65%. It would be a tiered approach considered.
Are you talking about China?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
This is the one where Trump has said, you know, that's we're going to hit them hard
China's
because they've been hurting us.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I bring all this up because much like yesterday, which, by the way, your 401k did pretty good yesterday for most people listening. And what you need to know right now is that these stocks are still up right now with hours to go. But the Dow is up 840, the NASDAQ 585, the S&P 500. If this is true, investors will like this, whether it's right or wrong, and we could see a positive finish again today on Wall Street.
Brad, what do you think about this?
Well, there is a mood change in the last couple of days. Yesterday, President Trump, remember he said a few days ago, he doesn't like the Federal Reserve Chairman,
right,
Mr. Powell.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I'm not going to fire him. Don't worry, I'm not going to fire him.
Right.
Then the White House yesterday, Caroline Leavitt, during her briefing yesterday, said, we have now 18 proposed settlements with 18 different countries. Mm-hmm. Vance, Vice President Vance, is in India. He was saying yesterday, we're going to work out a great deal with India.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm not sure whether the chaos that we've seen over the last couple of weeks because of the tariff war, trade war, what it's done to stock market, but it appears there's been a shift, at least, that and the line coming out of the administration, everything's going to be all right. And this Wall Street Journal story this morning on the China tariffs, yesterday President Trump says, I'm great friends with the Chinese leader Xi. I mean, we're just great friends. And so all of this is pointing towards, and some people are going to say, told you, art of the deal.
Yeah.
You know, quote there, President Trump is punching and punching and punching, and now he's stepping back and saying, kumbaya.
Yeah.
You know, everything's going to be okay.
Okay. I can tell my... So the stock market's up now because the White House is what?
They're considering slashing China tariffs to de-escalate the trade war. Also, Trump said he's not going to fire Powell.
Yep.
How do I say this without ticking off all President Trump's fans that listen to our show?
Yeah.
How do I say this? Because I too am a fan.
Yeah.
And have applauded President Trump many, many times, and I love the things that... Every day it's been Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. For his first couple months of his administration. Now, here comes the...
But.
You need to turn the radio off if you get your feelings hurt. Cause somebody,
if you're easily triggered.
If you're easily triggered. I'm sure he has a plan, but I don't understand why you can't believe what he says one day to the next.
Publicly, yeah. What he publicly says.
What he publicly says, because he changes his mind on a dime. And I'm not saying he doesn't set out every morning to go, you know, I think I'm going to contradict what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't think he does that. I just do think it's back to the art of the deal. To practice the art of the deal, you have to manipulate people. And you have
to keep them off balance.
You have to keep them off balance. That's the way the world works. That's uh-huh. the way a lot of business works, negotiation and all that. Not let them see all your cards.
Right.
So, but when you do that as president, it causes great volatility and uncertainty. And that's why the stock market's been all over the place and the economy. And I've heard a lot of people say, I don't understand what Trump's doing with these tariffs. Well, I don't either, because I don't understand them very much. Yeah. I do get the concept that President Trump's talking about when he says, you know, we need to equal the playing field because our people we trade with tariff us and then we don't tariff them, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with you right there, brother. But sometimes your actions have unintended consequences. And if you do things too fast, too hard, too quick, too broad, then you get a reaction that you didn't expect, I guess I could say. Now, President Trump did say there's going to be some rough waters ahead. When he's doing all these tariffs. But here's my bottom line point. If the White House today is saying they're going to do something that they said they wouldn't do last week, and it caused all this chaos, for what purpose? That's my question. I'm not making an accusation against President Trump. I guess that'll play out in the coming days and weeks. But if the White House has said we're not changing anything, this is hard and fast, we're putting 150% tariff on all things China, and now it looks like it's going to be not going to work politically because Americans are going to have to pay a lot more, and then he backs down. Well, then say I back down. Because of course, he's never said that before, right?
Right.
Mm. It's because this is not going to work. Do you understand what I'm?
Yeah.
Am I making myself?
No. I agree. Here's the thing I would say. Nobody elected me president, but I'm.
And you're not running either.
And I'm not running.
I tried to talk you into it. Yes. I said, you know, you're a DEI guy.
Yeah.
You're half Greek, half Italian, but you're fully American.
Yes.
I was going to be your campaign chairman.
I was going to be a good DEI president.
Go ahead.
No, so nobody's asked me for what I'm about to say. And I don't know whether it would work. And I'm certainly not Trump. Trump, as I've said, is a generational individual. You don't see individuals like Donald Trump, but probably once every 50 or 75 years. So he is unique, and I think God is using him in a number of levels. I would have preferred to see, so this is just my opinion, that President Trump, when he came into office, start off, and he has, doing the things he said he would do with regards to immigration and all those things. And then, rather than just start slapping tariffs every which way you could, okay, I would have picked two or three countries, and I would have said, okay, we are going to now try to balance our trade deficit. Last year was over $1 trillion, and we're starting with these three countries, and we are going to work things through, but we're not doing this anymore. So the rest of you, get ready. Start thinking about what you can do, because we're going to come to everybody. And I think that approach would have been far safer in terms of almost overturning the world economy and the stock market. It's just lay it out and say, listen, we're not doing this anymore. So, and I personally would not have started with Canada and Mexico. I think that was a mistake. They are our neighbors and two of our closest allies. I would have waited on them, but nobody asked me and I didn't get elected. But that's what I would have preferred to see.
Fred?
I think at the end of the day, this was all intentional by the president. I think he went out there and he threw the ball hard.
Come on, with China?
With China.
And with everybody else?
And with everybody else.
But now he's backing down.
Well, some would see it that way, but he would say it worked because I'm going to get out of this what I wanted. That's what.
So you think there's back channel discussions?
I think that's been that way all the way along.
We're still going to have tariffs.
Does this article say what America does America get what Trump wanted?
I don't see that in those exact.
What does it say?
Well, basically, tariffs could come down to between roughly 50% and 65%. So we're still going to tariff them. It's just not going to be the full on 100% plus.
I guess I'm asking why the back off.
Well, according to the source that The Wall Street Journal interviewed, it's to de-escalate tensions with Beijing.
But he escalated them.
Right. That have impacted global trade and investment, which is my stock.
Well, I escalate them, then I de-escalate them, and I get credit.
Yeah. Well, the only
thing. Am I the only one?
No, the only thing. But see, there's a lot we don't know. So if in escalating backdoor channels, they were discussing, and Xi Jinping of China said, all right, we'll come to the table, but you need to drop this.
Okay.
This,
well, if that happens, then I'll understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But right now it seems like
if nothing changes going forward, then it looks like a bluff.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
And he got called.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim. Ed is with me, and Fred's with me, and Chris also. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Well, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and the United States Supreme Court are at loggerheads, seemingly, about what to do on the issue of deportation of illegal immigrants. And it's kind of confusing for the public, I think, trying to understand and sort this out. So we've asked Jenna to come on. Jenna Ellis, from host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard on American Family Radio, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time, each weekday morning, and host of the on-demand podcast found on AFR.net, where Jenna does deep dives into various and sundry topics that you will find of interest. And so we'll let her talk about that as well. But good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, are you driving?
I am driving, but at the moment I am stopped. So if okay. I sound a little different than I normally am on radio, it's because I'm on my car's Bluetooth.
Okay, well, I don't want to put you at risk or anything like that, is what I'm saying.
Sorry we interrupted your trip to Walmart, you know. Or
now they got a Publix in Florida.
I know. I got Better Homes and Gardens. That whole collection from Walmart, I'm just saying, it's pretty fantastic. So.
Wow.
All right, Better Homes and Gardens. Well, then we'll get right there. To the point here, Jenna. What about this? Supreme Court had a 7-2 decision the other day, which against what the president is doing overall. That's what I got from it. Now, but it wasn't a real decision in the sense that it wasn't a court case. Can you explain what's going on here?
Yeah, so there are a number of cases and a number of opinions from the Supreme Court, and so it is confusing because there was also another one that talked about this kind of 60-day window for self-deportation, and then the 7 wasn't a total opinion on the merits, and so a lot of this is confusing, but the bottom line is that the Supreme Court is wrestling basically with the issue generally of whether people who have come here illegally, so they've already broken the law, get the protections of due process from the Constitution. And as J.D. Vance, I think, very rightly said in a pretty lengthy X post on social media, that when you're talking about due process, you literally need to talk about what type of process is due or owed to a particular individual. And so people who have come here illegally and actually have no status, they're the same thing as a break-in or a squatter in a home. You shouldn't have to go through an eviction process in the same way you would a tenant if you're a landlord, for example. So when the Supreme Court is attaching due process rights to people who are here illegally, in my view, and in most conservative constitutionalist views, if they come across the border illegally, then they're basically stealing due process rights and claiming, well, I should have my day in court and have adjudication and have all of these rights attached, when they're not American citizens and they have no claim for any type of status, whether permanent or temporary, like a student visa status would even give some other element of due process. So overall, what people need to take away from this whole conversation and all the litigation is that the question is becoming, what type of process do in court do these illegal aliens have a right to under our constitutional framework?
So the 7-2 decision the other day, it was 7-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
With only Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito dissenting. That was not a permanent decision. That was a temporary decision, right?
Right. So it didn't reach the full merits, is my understanding of that case.
Right.
And yeah, and so it was basically skeptical of whether Trump's deportation notices comply fully with due process. And so much of this, again, is not saying that Trump can't ultimately deport these illegals. It's just saying, does his administration have to abide by specific process in order to accomplish that?
Jen, it's Fred here. Just listening to your explanation and bringing in the comparison of someone breaking into your home and then expecting due process before we can remove them from the house. But I think I heard you saying, these are people who broke into our home, this country, illegally. Therefore, they don't have rights for so-called due process. Would you treat a person who is in the country on a student visa or a green card differently? Do they have some right to due process versus the person who broke into the country?
Yes, absolutely. Now, do they have full citizenship rights? No. But again, this is what process is due. Well, if you are here on a student visa, then that means that you have gone through the process to obtain one prior to entering the country. So
right.
So immigration law actually does treat two buckets of people basically very differently. And it depends on whether you entered the country legally. And even if you are a holdover, your student visa expired and you're still here, basically illegally, but you came legally, then the court will treat you differently anyway. Compared to people who came here and that initial contact with the United States was here illegally. And so for someone who has a student visa, if they're subject potentially to deportation, they have more process that is due. If you are a permanent resident, even more heightened, because it's not a temporary status. It is a permanent residency. And so there are rights attached to that by virtue of that whole application process and that agreement basically with the United States and that individual that you have a green card, then that does entitle you to more process before you could be removed. And then, of course, full citizenship is an entirely different category.
So, Jenna, is that what, when the term is used, similarly situated, is that what we're talking about when we're talking about due process, that the person who is renting an apartment, the person who is a squatter, and the person who breaks in, even though all three people are in the apartment, they're not similarly situated in terms of the law. Is that what that means, that phrase?
Yes. And so that's a legal term of art that basically means by comparison. And so people who are similarly situated may mean that not all of the facts of their cases are identical, but in terms of the legal question at issue, they're similarly situated in terms of what needs to be adjudicated, what process needs to happen, they would be similarly situated. So someone, for example, who has a 6-month lease versus a 12-month lease, if they are looking for process for eviction purposes, for example, they would be similarly situated in the sense that they both have a leasehold. And they would not be similarly situated to someone who is a squatter or who came in on an Airbnb a rental, for example, that doesn't have a lease term, just has a temporary contract. So when we're talking about people who are similarly situated, it means just in the with respect to the legal question at issue. And for purposes of this discussion, people who are here legally, whether it's student visa, green card, full citizen, they're not similarly situated with respect to deportation and due process as people who came illegally.
Okay.
Jenna, do you know, and maybe this isn't known, where this goes next? I mean, go ahead.
Well, I think that the Trump administration is going to continue to deport. Right. They will continue to push this as far as they can go. The litigation will also continue. And so the question, I think, for the Trump administration is when they're looking at some of these lower district court judges, are they going to abide by those opinions or basically ignore those opinions until it gets to the Supreme Court? And that's a fascinating legal question. But I think where this goes from here is that there's going to definitely be more litigation, and hopefully, ultimately, the U.S. Supreme Court will recognize that people who came here illegally are not entitled to, in my opinion, due process at all or any kind of process. But even if they are entitled to process, the very bare minimum to simply recognize, okay, there's a court finding that you came here illegally. That's all we need, but you're subject to deportation. The problem is that the court has now told the Trump administration, you can't do mass deportations. You have to look at this on a case-by-case basis. That takes hours and hours and hours, and it's a way to bulk up the process so that there's not enough time to review each of these individual cases for even just the hundreds of thousands of people that came in during the Biden administration. So that's going to be another outstanding legal question. And I think from here, we just have to wait and see what both the administration and the Supreme Court decides.
Gotcha. All right. Jenna Ellis joining us right now. So Jenna Ellis in the Morning is heard each weekday here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. And then the On Demand podcast is weekly at AFR.net, the On Demand podcast is hosted by Jenna. What are you going to be talking about this week?
Yes, speaking of the Supreme Court, we're doing a deep dive into parental rights and the case that was argued yesterday in front of the Supreme Court as far as exposure by public schools for young children to LGBTQ content that parents object to, and why, in my view, this is not just a religious freedom issue. This comes back to fundamental pre-political parental rights. So we're going to be doing a deep dive into that topic.
Okay. That's at AFR.net. You can click on the podcast section there. It's easy to find. And then Jenna's show called On Demand, hosted by Jenna Ellis. And the topic is one she just described. All right, Jenna, back on the road. Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Jenna Ellis joining us from Central Florida. Hurricane-free today. The hurricane-free day.
Season starts June 1st.
Central Florida, they don't get it like the coast do there, you know, for the hurricanes. You said what now?
The hurricane season starts June 1st and then runs until
November,
pretty much stops. Yeah. There was one in 2005, 2006 is when it went like past Christmas, and they ran out of names. They just started doing like Greek letters. Hurricane Theta.
Epsilon.
Yeah, there you go. So they started sounding like fraternity brothers. So many.
All right. So thanks to Jenna there for joining us. You're listening to this radio program, and it's called Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. You want to send us an email? You can do so at comments@afr.net. Next story, Chris.
I do want to mention, at least for a moment, that case that she ended the discussion with, the topic that she's going to be discussing in future installments of her show. I mentioned this on the show yesterday, and the reason why is because the parents were going into the Supreme Court to make their argument. Arguments have taken place. Now we have kind of the reaction or the coverage of what justices had to say and all that stuff.
You might real quickly tell the folks who don't know.
Yes.
Case, what was it about?
This is a case called Mahmoud v. Taylor. It is from Christian, Muslim, and Jewish parents out of Montgomery County, Maryland. This interreligious coalition of parents say that the Montgomery County Board of Schools there took away their opt-out options and included their kids in instruction time that involved LGBTQ books. And these are like radical books like Uncle Bobby's Wedding and How I Feel Today and Prince and Knight, A Love Story, these kinds of radical LGBTQ books. So the Christian, Muslim, and Jewish parents say that Montgomery County Schools took away their opt-out. They want that back. And interestingly enough, even Justice Kagan, a liberal justice nominated to the court by one Barack Obama, took issue with these books. Don't take my word for it. Clip six.
I, too, was struck by these are, you know, young kids, picture books, and on matters concerning sexuality. I suspect there are a lot of non-religious parents who weren't all that thrilled about this. And then you know, add in religion, and that's, you know, even more serious.
Now, one other thing that really stood out in terms of the news coverage and the arguments yesterday, the left has tried to make this about book banning and hateful people that don't want kids reading LGBTQ books. But even Justice Brett Kavanaugh was able to confirm that parents just want the opt-out. That it's not that they can't read these books. It's not that kids can't have the books, touch the books, look at the books, whatever. Parents just want the opt-out back. Clip seven.
Just to be clear, your position in this case is that you're not seeking to alter the instruction in the classroom or what's the content of the classroom. You're only seeking not for these children to be forced to remain in the classroom, correct?
Exactly.
Now, one other thing that really stood out yesterday, teachers union leader Randy Weingarten appeared on Fox News Channel, of all places, and said things like, quote, "These would not be the books I would be reading to kids who are 4 to 6 years old."
And she's president of the American Federation.
Yes, very liberal. And yep. For her to say that on Fox News Channel, I think pretty much shuts the door on this case.
Has she been drinking?
Not that I'm aware of.
That doesn't sound like her at all.
It does not. It does not. But I have to bring that up.
A couple lunchtime martinis sound like to me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, she was being interviewed by Fox, which, to the best of my knowledge, is the first time that she has been interviewed on Fox News.
Yeah.
She did a very lengthy interview with Marsha McCollum yesterday. And I was shocked at that statement.
But what we just heard?
Yeah, I was shocked by what she said. These are not the type of books I understand why parents would be concerned.
They must be really bad.
Oh, they are.
Her to say that. You know what I'm saying?
They paint homosexuality, transgenderism in a very these books.
Yeah.
In a very positive light. And keep in mind, this school district, Montgomery County School District, wants kids as young as 4 years old to be exposed. This is not books on a shelf. These are teachers reading these books to these students.
Okay, let me tell you another thing here. Just put the Supreme Court argument aside that these parents are wanting the right to opt out. They need to take over that school board.
Yeah.
They need to...
Parents, you mean?
Yeah, yep. They need to... Those who are opposed to what we've just been talking about here, these pornographic books being...
I don't think these are all pornographic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're not pornographic in the sense of graphics.
Right. Yeah.
But they are they're advocating and promoting homosexuality and bisexuality and transgenderism and all those things, the LGBTQ, to small children.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
What grades are we talking about here?
Kindergarten through third.
Elementary.
It's like K-4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it shouldn't be too hard to rally the parents in that school district to get the school board to get these books out. And if they don't get the books out, then you get that school board out. And maybe they are trying this. Maybe there's a dual track here.
It is a very liberal county, I will say that. So that may be...
More liberal than Randy Weingartner?
Well...
Wow!
I have a different take on why Randy Weingarten might be saying that what she said, but Montgomery County, if I'm not mistaken, this is a county that, if I've got the right Montgomery County, wants to hand out condoms even to grade schoolers. I mean, this is a very pro-sexual revolution county. So okay. What I'm saying is,
I got you.
The percentage of parents who want to see the school board change might not be large enough to vote all these whack jobs off.
This is San Francisco East.
Yes, okay. I and Maryland generally is fairly liberal on cultural issues. But I do want to just mention that I'm not sure that Randy Weingarten is suddenly becoming reasonable on these issues. I think she is, and others on the left are starting to see that the tide has turned somewhat, and that going pro-trans, 100% pro-trans is not a winning formula if you're the Democratic Party, which the American Federation of Teachers is absolutely in bed with. And so, and also, I think there's some worry amongst public schools and teachers unions that more and more parents are going to jerk their kids out of school and homeschool or send them to Christian schools,
right,
and they could wind up seeing a continuation of the drain of students in public school.
To give people more of the experience that was Randy on Fox News with Martha McCallum, we
Is
have
it Weingarten or Weingarten?
Weingarten.
Weingarten.
Okay, Weingarten, like a wine garden.
Basically,
it's Garten. It's T-E-N.
Weingarten.
I'm just southernizing.
Okay, just so people who don't follow this closely, she's the number one spokesman for the teachers unions in the country.
Yes.
Because her organization represents more public school teachers than any other. Mm-hmm. True?
Yes.
Maybe the NEA might be up there with it, the National Education Association. But she is the one that I see the most representing teachers
unions. That's who we're talking about.
It was a very lively discussion that lasted almost 15 minutes, and I'll post the link to the entire video on our Today's Issues Facebook page so that you, too, can see what I witnessed for 14 minutes and 51 seconds yesterday. But for the time being, here's a 44-second excerpt between Martha and Randy, clip 8.
I say this as someone who is a gay person who understands that we have to actually make sure that families are respected and families are safe and kids are safe and that differences are acknowledged and differences are embraced. But, you know, once you get a case like this where, you know, parents are uncomfortable about what is being read to their kids in a classroom, this is something that has to be dealt with in a local level, not in the Supreme Court. And so parents have rights, and they should have rights in terms of what is being taught in classrooms.
You have actually very,
Martha,
very difficult
Martha,
outcome.
Martha, sweetheart, listen to me.
Please don't call
it
me sweetheart.
It actually does. I'm sorry. My bad.
Randy, I didn't know this until just now. This is why this show exists. Randy Weingarten, I didn't know she was a lesbian.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that
even adds to this.
That adds, because she said, as a gay person, LGBTQ. All right. Well,
That's why we're here.
The next story, Chris.
So the head of the American Federation for Teachers is a lesbian. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with gay people working, but in terms of. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
If you have to say that there's anything wrong with that, then you really believe there is something wrong with that.
I thought you were making a Seinfeld.
Now, the point I was trying to make, I'm surrounded by wise guys. All right. I have no problem with LGBTQ people having a job. But if you're going to have a job that helps to determine public policy for schools and our kids, then it does matter if you have a lesbian over a teacher's union when we're discussing whether to have these books.
Right.
So that does concern me. But if you're working at the local Chipotle, I don't care.
In Mexico City.
Yes.
All right.
In other news.
3 minutes left here, Chris.
In other news, the list of states fighting President Trump and his executive order barring males from female sports, the list of states fighting him is growing.
Okay.
Minnesota is now on that list because on AFN.net, you will see a story of how Democratic Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison has filed a lawsuit against President Trump, seeking to block his administration from acting against Minnesota in the way it's taking on Maine under a federal push to ban dudes from female sports. You know, I have some audio from Keith Ellison if you're interested.
That's the AG there?
It sure is.
The wackadoodle?
Yes.
Wackadoodle AG?
Clip 10.
I'd like to announce that I'm suing the President of the United States, Donald Trump, and Attorney General Pam Bondi, and the United States Department of Justice. Here is the opening line of our lawsuit. Minnesota brings this lawsuit to stop President Trump and his administration from bullying vulnerable children in this state. In January and February, President Trump issued a series of executive orders targeting transgender people. One in particular banned transgender girls and women from participating on sports teams with other girls and women. Complying with the sports executive order from the president would violate Minnesota Human Rights Act.
All right, that's just crazy.
Yes, at least one person in government in Minnesota agrees with Trump here. And I say that based on the fact that House Speaker Lisa DeMuth of Cold Spring, Minnesota, backs Trump's position and disagrees with Ellison.
Continues to be a loser for Democrats. I don't know why this guy is, he must really be a true believer that dudes who say they're girls are girls. That's the way he spoke right there.
Yes. Yep.
And instead of saying President Trump is trying to protect young women in athletics and their privacy, by the way, in gyms and changing areas and showers, he's saying he's framing it as no, Trump's bullying transgendered kids.
Right. Yep.
So it's your whole, it's just your worldview. But these people like Keith Ellison right there, he's the AG of Minnesota. You know, I wouldn't be, once Trump learns about this, he'll probably give Minnesota to Canada. You know what I'm saying?
Or he's going to slap him with a tariff.
Canada.
It's a Minnesota Canada tariff coming your way.
How they, on this issue in Canada, how is this playing out?
This, well, the Liberal Party, the ruling Liberal Party, there's an election this coming Monday. The ruling Liberal Party is all in on the LGBT.
Oh, okay, they're just like him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were ahead of the curve. This is what made Jordan Peterson famous.
I got you.
That in his suits.
Well, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.